Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When we think of school safety, thoughts of intruder drills come to mind as a sign of the times. Today, we talk about another public safety topic that affects our children, suicide. The Rapid City School District, like many other districts throughout the nation, has experienced multiple losses this school year. The district has been talking about the often taboo topic of suicide. Their second community meeting takes place next Tuesday, November 14th. That's at 6 p.m. at the Western Dakota Tech Event Center. And joining us today from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City, we have Katie Urban. She's Rapid City Area Schools Communications Manager. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing well. Also with us, Corey Harriff. He's Associate Regional Director of Black Hills Young Life. Corey, thanks for being here as well.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Katie, let's start with you, because what a challenging start to the school year for the students, for the administrators, for the teachers. Tell me a little bit about how folks in the Rapid City School District are supporting one another just on a daily basis of reaching out and being human through a season of unexpected loss.
Yeah, you know, it's been a really difficult few months. Starting in July, we had experienced, from July until the first week of September, we had experienced 9 deaths in our district. We had 1 teacher and 8 students. 3 of those were suicides. So it sounds awful, but in some ways it, you know, by after a couple of kids go and you have to start writing these communications over and over and telling families, it's extremely difficult. It's just, an open wound. And I think we're all learning a lot through this process. And just really, you know, trying to make sure that we're supporting one another as a staff and teaching our students to support each other and making sure that our staff know how to be there for one another and for our students.
I was reading a column in the Rapid City Journal this morning, Superintendent Lori Simon, saying essentially, let's talk about it. Let's not let this be taboo. Let it be something that we talk openly about it, which isn't always the case with suicide. Corey, tell me why it's important to sort of lift that taboo or push past it and say this is something that we need to all be talking about.
Yeah, that's such a great thought. You know, I think in order for healing to happen, we have to talk about the things that hurt us. And I think vulnerability and authenticity, really, that's where we find great freedom. Somebody told me one time, in order to be free from captivity, you have to name the thing that's holding you captive. And so I think it's critical that we as a community have honest discussions. But here's what's even more critical, because we're talking about teenage suicide. We've got to get kids to talk, and that's a challenge. Kids don't trust adults as a whole. And so how do you get kids to open up? How do you get kids to share and to talk? Well, you've got to have what I call social capital. You've got to have relationships with them. you've got to be able to earn their trust. And you earn their trust by spending time with them. And I'll be really honest, it's not very easy. Most of us as adults, we're busy. We don't have time. I mean, shoot, parents are doing their best and working 2 and 3 jobs. And do they really have time to connect with their kids and really hear their stories and hear their day? And so, you know, in Young Life, I've been here almost 20 years, and we've been coming alongside. We've had 37,000 kids go through our doors, and we talk to kids. We've earned the right to come alongside of them. And so I think we've got to get kids to talk about it. In the last 4 or 5 months, I have dealt with suicide about an issue with suicide at least once a week. And kids are talking to me. But that's because I have social capital, and our leaders and our other staff have social capital with kids. And so those relationships are key, and kids have to trust you, and that trust takes time, and it's different for every kid. But once a kid trusts you and once they feel safe to share their heart and their hurt with you, wow, it's like a volcano of information. Just yesterday, I was with a kid, 9:30 at night. We were done with our Young Life Club, was dropping him off. And he was telling me that one of his buddies was suicidal, and his friend told him not to tell anybody. And he was asking me, you know, what he should do. And I said, well, you did the right thing by talking to me. And we were able to get that kid some help. Just this morning, I got a text from a mom expressing that she's concerned about a kid that she knows that could be suicidal. And so why are people reaching out? Because I think there's that relationship piece, and that's very important.
And I want to be fair to all parents, and it's true, it's hard as a parent to have time, but many of these parents might have a great relationship with their child, might make the time for them, and there still could be something that, you know, a parent can't stand alone on this and be the only adult that a person comes to. Katie, do you see, you know, the school as part of, you know, there's so many teachers and helping kids connect in the classroom, not only to their peers, but to just, you know, one staff member at the school as a reason to keep coming back to school. It's not just on the parents.
No, it's not. I mean, I think looking for those protective factors for kids, whether it's a teacher, a peer, a coach, just someone is... just being able to say, we're going to talk with you. People that I think sometimes as adults, like Corey said, we get really busy and we just, it doesn't even occur to us. But I think just being aware that our kids are needing support right now is really important. And, you know, that we have a lot of kids hurting. We know that. We've actually had more than 70 reports of suicidal ideation this year, with the highest number being our freshman students, our ninth graders. And so I don't know if this conversation and being, you know, making it okay to talk about it is maybe that's some of the reason that we're seeing more referrals to our office. Obviously, we're going to see more just because of the contagion and all the difficult things that our kids are going through. But one of the things that we're doing as a district is we are working with consultants to bring in more training for our staff to make sure that they know what kids need and what to look for and those kinds of things. So as the year progresses, we're doing more to address it, both with our staff and then looking at creating some, you know, peer programming to assist our students as well.
Tell me, Katie, a little bit about this upcoming community meeting and this group of panelists. Who is going to be there?
So we have a really great, diverse panel. We have law enforcement represented. One of our special FBI agents who has investigated numerous suicides on the reservation. He's actually going to be on the panel, and he brings a really great perspective because he says, you know, looking back after he's charged with going in and investigating a suicide to make sure that it wasn't something else, he says it's really easy to see when you go back that there were signs. And a lot of times parents don't always see those signs, but I think pointing those out and talking, his perspective is going to be really interesting. And then this time we actually asked a couple of youth in our schools to be on the panel as well, because they're in the trenches, they know what's going on, and so I think it's important that we listen to them and hear what they need. So looking forward to them. And then, of course, we have Corey Harif, who is, again, someone that's in the trenches. And then we have a couple of our special, our educators, a counselor, and our crisis care director here in the community is also going to be on that panel.
Corey, can you speak to, and again, if you're just tuning in, that panel is in Rapid City at the Western Dakota Tech Event Center on Tuesday, November 14th at 6 p.m. Corey, can you speak to the role of the internet and social media in sort of contributing to depression and anxiety amongst young people? And then also, you know, as it contributes to sort of kids connecting and reaching out to one another when they're in distress. Do you see both sides of that coin?
You know, social media is amoral. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. But it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. And so I think that a lot of students, a lot of kids that I know, social media kids are brutal. I mean, some of the things they say to each other, some of the things they do are unthinkable. And kids will show me, look what this kid sent me on Snapchat, or look what I just got on Twitter or Instagram. I mean, it is brutal. But that very same thing that can be brutal and hurt kids are using those tools to report to me, hey, Corey, look what this kid sent me. Look what this kid did. I'll give you one quick story, a real-life story that happened. I believe I shared this at the last panel, but the day that we had the last panel, which was about a month ago, right, Katie?
Mm-hmm.
A kid reached out to me and said, Corey, I was on Snapchat, and this kid said that he was going to kill himself. And so I said, thanks for reaching out to me. Give me the kid's name. He gave me the kid's name. I also happened to volunteer as one of the chaplains for the police department here. So I was able to get a hold of a couple of our officers and to try and find out if they knew who this kid was or where his was located. Well, in the meantime, this kid that reported this other kid sent me his location on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. And the deputy sheriff was able to physically locate the kid. And that kid was in process of preparing to commit suicide as the deputy showed up. But that pin location on Snapchat gave the exact location where the kid was at, and we were able to get that kid to safety. And so social media can be a great thing, but can also be a really hard thing. And so I think I know you didn't ask this question, but some suggestions, if parents could limit their kids' social media, I think every parent ought to be able to have the kid's password and to be able to look, you know, until they're 18. People could be like, wait, that's mine. Right. You know, if I'm paying for it, you live in my roof. No, this is part of being a parent. This is part of being of caring for you. And obviously, not every kid has parents that have that will do that. But I think it's really critical that we have that. But social media plays a very big role. Bullying is such a huge thing for kids on social media. I just got a text the other day from a kid and said, would you talk to so-and-so because he keeps bullying me through Snapchat? And
Candy, let's talk about bullying. Just, and we only have a couple minutes left here. And mm-hmm. So again, you know, November 14th, Tuesday at 6 p.m. is when you can really hear these discussions play out in more depth in Rapid City. But Katie, let's just close with, I mean, a lot of efforts have been made to prevent and reduce bullying over the last few years. We have a story on social media in teens this Thursday. Next week, we're visiting with a bullying researcher from the University of Florida. But I'm going to ask you, are the efforts to stop bullying working?
You know, I think that there are a lot of good things in motion. It's certainly, I think, going to be a challenge that we're never going to completely get rid of. But we actually hired this year a student support manager, and we are really working on our PBIS implementation, which is Positive Behavior Supports Intervention. So this system has been proven to really reduce bullying. We're looking at doing a number of different, like, workshops for parents, so how they can help their kids, how they can make sure that they're raising little humans that aren't bullies. I think that we're making traction, that we're gaining traction. It's going to take some time, and I think that we'll know more and see more results in the future. But at this point, we know that it is certainly something our students struggle with, particularly as social media becomes more and more prevalent.
Right. And I think I've been misspeaking. I keep saying next Tuesday, but it's tonight.
It's tonight.
It's November
tonight,
14th.
Yes.
Yes. So let's be very clear about that. Today is November 14th, 6 p.m. Western Dakota Tech Event Center. This is the second community gathering. Katie Urban, Rapid City Area Schools Communications Manager. I know this is something that you're on top of. Keep in touch with us, and we'll have more conversations on this program as well for a statewide audience. Thanks for being here today, Katie.
Thank you.
And Corey Harif, Associate Regional Director of Black Hills Young Life, again, extending that invitation to you as well to come back. So many compelling stories. Let's spend some more time on this in the future.
I'd love to bring a kid with me who can actually share, too. That'd be kind of fun.
Absolutely. We'll make that happen. And thank you for listening today. That's our program.